Mini episode 1644 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with my fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary Chris Galloway. We are going through division by division in the NFL this year, breaking down all eight of the divisions. And I'm going to refer you back to the first one of these we did for the AFC East if you want to hear our overarching thoughts for the season, overarching thoughts for the offseason. The rest of these are narrowly focused by division. This is the AFC West. And the format for this is taken from Fantasy Football Draftology 2023, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, and specifically the segment in there that is labeled one run-on sentence for each team in the NFL. This is the one run-on sentence for each team in the AFC West. Kansas City. The Super Bowl champs are normally presumed to be the team to beat the following season, but the margin between them and the Bengals and Bills remains small, and remaining the top seed will be the key, since the squad that had to face both teams the past two postseasons has fallen short of the big game. LA Chargers. This remains more of a stars and scrubs roster than most observers would have you believe, which may put a ceiling on how much incoming offensive coordinator Kellen Moore can cause the Chargers to stop being the Chargers in the playoffs. Denver. Sean Payton has his work cut out for him turning around this offense after a disastrous 2022, and he should have that unit looking much better, but this is just as the defense appears about to take a step back this year. Las Vegas. A stealth disaster looms at QB if Jimmy G isn't ready for the season, albeit the move to him was just a lateral one based on Derek Carr leaving, albeit aside from a few issues on the trenches on both sides of the ball and with a healthy passer, Josh McDaniels will be out of excuses if the team plummets again. So this is a division where, Chris, a lot of people, most people probably assume that the Chiefs will win the division, as I know you and I do. Most people assume that the Chargers will be right there as a wild card. I do not agree. And most people are generally more up on Denver than a year or so ago, and there's a wide variance of opinion on the Raiders. So I'll be very interested to see where my opinions and yours end up converging.
Well, I think obviously in the order of things, I think you and I, sounds like we're seeing it the same way. I've got the Chiefs winning the division kind of easily. Yes. And you know, I'm kind of torn between, are they a 12-5 or a 13-4 team? And when you got Mahomes, you know, you kind of lean 13-4, just because they just keep doing it year after year, and you pick against them at your own risk. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. You know, they have a few issues on that roster, nothing major, but obviously when you have Mahomes, you completely just Band-Aid and just, you know, whitewash over any and all of it.
Right.
I see the Chargers kind of the same way as you. It'll be great for them to get back some guys like Slater. If you remember, he's proven to be what I thought he was coming out of the draft. I had him as my top tackle in that draft.
Yep.
I think the Chargers are looking at about, about 10-17. They're going to win some games. They're going to look good. Then they're going to lose a few games that you go, well, why did they lose that game? The defense has some question marks. I know everyone's like, Kellen Moore. We'll see. I mean, it wasn't like his things were perfect when he was in Dallas.
Right.
I've got the Chargers at 10-7. and you know, competing right to the end. And I think that, you know, the problem for Staley is that, like, another season of either just sneaking in or just missing out is going to be, you know, what does ownership do?
Right.
Do they keep him around for another, what they will feel is a disappointing end and an underachieving season, even if they go 10-7? So that you could be looking at a change there. And I say that in reference to the team I have finishing in third place, the Denver Broncos, whom I have winning 7 games and finishing 7-10. And that is that defense is taking a slight step backwards. I don't think that it's assumed that Russell Wilson is going to be the Russell Wilson of old. That offensive line is not very good. And I think we could see a lot of the same struggles that we saw last year manifest itself again this year. As we mentioned in the offseason review, I think year one's going to be tough on Sean Payton. It's not going to be plug and play. Just turn the key and, hey, I'm here now. You know, hey, baby, don't worry. Hugh Jackson's in the building.
Right.
You know, it isn't going to be like that. And I think that there is a point of if the Chargers go 10-7, and on tie breaks miss the playoffs and they move on from Staley, I think Sean Payton will be mad that he did not wait one more year and go take that Chargers team over.
Right.
And then lastly, the Raiders, look, they're led by a coach that I can't stand. And I never believed in him on the second go around. I was so happy when the Browns weren't stupid and, you know, did not hire him, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a McDaniels fan. I'm never going to be. And I agree with you. Garoppolo is not an upgrade over Carr. If he can even stay healthy, at best it's lateral. This team has issues. They've taken some step backs in some different position groups in terms of talent. Is Josh Jacobs going to show up? I mean, I think he will ultimately, because who wants to miss out on $10 million?
Right.
But I mean, you know, he's not going to give them any preseason. There's going to be malcontent within the building. If Jimmy isn't available for the first game or two and then gets hurt again, they're just sunk. I mean, I don't see them as more than a 5 or 6 win team.
Right.
I see them just regressing. And so I don't have a lot of faith in them. They're going to lose a couple games that everyone thinks they should win, and they'll steal one where everyone thought they would lose, and they'll, you know, they'll beat the Chiefs or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They'll get one of those. But this is not a playoff team, and frankly, it's a record where McDaniels should be out of a job, but between the money they owe him on the contract and Tom Brady, his buddy, now a minority owner in the team, my guess is the Raiders give him one more year before they fire him.
Right. That sounds about right. And again, with what you said about the Raiders winning a game at some point that they have no business winning, I think what that means is for the 63rd consecutive year, somebody in America will go to the electric chair screaming, "The Raiders are going to the Super Bowl."
So, yes, and it's always a Raiders fan going to the electric chair.
That's right. They'll be able to take that with them.
There's an indictment of an entire fan base.
Well, you know, might as well paint with a broad brush because we can. But
and you like to?
I do. Let's be honest. That's part of my profile. I do paint with a broad brush. I think that all of the Raider fans out there will be seeing their team ultimately go to a 6-11 record. I've got Denver at 8-9. I've got the Chargers at 8-9, which is going to surprise a lot of people. I think Kansas City wins the division by the biggest spread in football at 12-5, slightly bigger than Jacksonville winning it at 11-6 over Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee at 8-9. So a 4-game spread in the AFC West, and I dare say a lot of people would find that surprising as far as picking the Chiefs to win their division by more games than anybody else, largely because, again, everybody seems to be hypnotized by the star power that the Chargers have, whilst not, as I keep saying, looking at the rest of the roster and seeing the holes that are there that nobody wants to acknowledge.
Yeah, they have holes. But I think that, you know, they have enough star power to get them to 10 wins.
Yeah.
And to, compete. So you and I see the division, again, similarly, with some minor variances on records and outcomes.
Yep.
You know, I have the Chiefs winning it by, you know, by 3 games comfortably. You've got it, you know, because I have the Chiefs at 13, but 13 wins, but I've got the, you know, the Chargers at least at 10, so it makes it look kind of respectable.
Sure. Now, do you have the Chargers in the playoffs?
Well, as I had mentioned to you off air, I hadn't really gamed out the playoff situation.
Okay.
I think they are going to be there with a number of other teams on the tiebreaker.
On the bubble. On the bubble.
The Browns, the Chargers. No one is getting in the AFC playoffs without at least 10 wins.
I gotcha. Okay.
Well, and I think some of that is just where are those tiebreaks, right?
Yes.
Where are they? And I think that's what's going to decide whether it's the Browns in or the Chargers in or one of these other teams. You know, it's like. Where's the tiebreak?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. And I think, because I expect it to be pretty jammed up. As I've been saying, I think that the Chiefs and the Bengals, I can now reveal going through here, I think that they are on a tier that is just slightly above the sort of 3-9, 3-10 teams in the AFC, however you see it. And I think there are basically scenarios that you could paint out. It may seem unlikely in some cases where that team could make the Super Bowl. Most people would put the Chargers in that mix. I don't. I've got them at 8-9. I think it's going to be a disappointing year, and this is one of the things where I'm going to call my shot a little bit. It's one of those things where it's a remarkable kind of a thing here that you can really seem like you're going out on a limb for picking a team to be 8-9 when they really haven't accomplished anything in most of the last several seasons. But everybody seems to always be saying this year is the year for the team, and that team is the Chargers.
Yeah, you see them as, like geopolitically like Brazil.
They're the team of the future, and they always will be.
You're exactly right.
Yes.
We'll see. I mean, their quarterback's got the contract. They brought back a Austin Eckler, good running back, slightly overrated on the NFL top 100, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is he 20 slots better than Nick Chubb? I don't think so. Again, but I think they've got enough talent there. If that offensive line is fully healthy, they can run the ball. Herbert can sling the ball. I mean, their problems are all on defense. And, you know, that's why everybody's like, Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore. I'm like, yeah, but what about the defense? Like, that's
right.
That's what's going to hold them back.
Well, yeah.
So you and I see it similarly in terms of how it plays out, but the records are slightly different.
Well, in terms of the NFL Top 100, everybody knows that the only list that matters year to year can be found in the Fantasy Football Draftology Guide, and the one for 2023 here, our list of the top 32 players in the league. We have Nick Chubb rated at number 12 among the players in the league, and we do not have Austin Eckler rated among the top 32. So we have him at minimum 21 spots behind Nick Chubb, and probably more than that. I would guess probably more like about 40 spots behind him. So it's utterly insane to have any kind of a ranking that has him ahead of Nick Chubb, much less as far as...
Well, keep in mind, that's a vote of the players.
Okay.
Right? Well, Austin Eckler is a very affable, likable guy. A lot of the players, you know, he's been kind of a leader in terms of the offseason and the running back situation. And even though I think everybody acknowledges that, like, Nick is amazing and really RB1 or RB2, depending on where you come down, Nick's a quiet, keep-to-yourself guy, right?
Yeah.
So how many players around the league are going to vote, you know, where are they voting him versus a guy like Eckler that they all know and they think he's a good dude? And you know what I mean? Like, I think he's very silly. He benefits from being sort of that guy where Nick Chubb is quiet and reserved, and I think it kind of hurts him. Because, again, that NFL top player vote, I mean, look, it's fun to look at the list. It doesn't, I mean, you know, didn't this year they have, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, number 3? Like, okay, that's clearly based on your lifetime of work, not last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as it goes in terms of painting with a broad brush, watch me do it again. given all the blind spots that they have on various issues, why are we canvassing the players in any way, shape, or form on what they think the top 100 is? I don't get it.
Well, we're doing it because everybody needs to fill content.
Right.
And in a period where there's no football and there's not much to talk about, they start dumping that out and, you know, getting people to talk about and debate and argue, and it gets clicks and it sells ads. And that is the only reason we go through this exercise.
Yeah. The modern media culture, which I am proud to say we are an alternative to here at this program. So in terms of going through, looking at the 2023 AFC West, any other thoughts, Chris Galloway?
It's Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs until somebody knocks them off.
Totally
it's,
agree.
If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Woo! Yeah, let's not overcomplicate it. Let's not act like it's any more, you know, and save me all your actuallys out there from the Charger fans, because, again, they have to prove they can get it done here. And, again, like you said, defensively, I think there's some holes. I just don't think there's going to be enough for them to be able to get it done. So we shall see. That's the AFC West, and that's the AFC for 2023 divisionally. Next up, it is the 2023 NFC East preview. Thank you very much, Chris Galloway. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for our 2023 AFC West preview.